And now I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Jesus will come back visibly to be seen by all. You and I, we confess that in the creeds every week. We sing of that reality when we sing the Te Deum in the Matin service. This is a fact that is always being set before us. Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. It's always there, this reality. But I don't know that you and I, that we pay it much mind. After all, we know that Jesus is still with us when his word is proclaimed. He is the one who baptizes us, gives us his Holy Spirit. He's the one who declares us forgiven. He's the one who feeds us at this altar. Yes, he will also return visibly, but since he is so very much with us here and now, I don't know that we really fret about the last day, nor should we. We have nothing to fear. Still, it is a reality, and judging from our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is of the opinion that we dare not be casual and are thinking about that day. So, what are we called to here? Well, we could get caught up in trying to figure out when that day will come. And seriously, one of the things I hear fairly regularly is, "Pastor, do you think the end's getting near? I mean, really, the world, how much worse can it get?" And so, we can get busy trying to evaluate the signs of the times, whether the day is closer or farther away, or we can simply make sure that we're ready for the day, whether it comes this afternoon, or next week, or not for another 500 years. And you can guess where Jesus stands on that particular question. Finding out how far or close the day is finally impossible. No one knows the day or the hour. Yes, we are closer to that day than we were yesterday, but that doesn't really help. And the signs that Jesus has given us about the day are a little elusive. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, false saviors, the persecution of believers, Jerusalem getting destroyed, the powers of the heavens being shaken. Much of that has been going on ever since the day Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. And as distressing as the times that we live in may be, if you take the long view of history, it's been worse. In fact, Luther, 500 years ago, thought things were so bad then that he couldn't see how the world could go on for another 100 years. So there's no way of calculating how close or far away the day is. All we know is that when the final end comes, we're not going to miss it. We're not going to mistake it for something else. It will be quite clear. Everyone will know exactly what is happening. And for those who do not know Christ as God and Savior, it will be terrifying. But for us, in Christ's church, we do not need to fear that day, and we don't have to worry over when it will come. We're simply given the charge, be ready. But how? How does one prepare for such a thing as the visible return of Jesus in glory and the judgment of all men and women and the renewal of this broken creation? Well, it turns out that Jesus, in his teaching here in Luke chapter 21, has several imperatives, several orders to give his disciples with regards to being ready for the end of all things. And the first order, the first imperative, is that when you see the unmistakable signs of the end, straighten up, raise your heads. Why? Because you know that your redemption is at hand. Now, this is a hard one, for Jesus says that the unbelieving world is going to be distressed and terrified and fainting from the dread of what's about to happen. And when everyone else around you gets stirred up, the temptation is to join the crowd. They must be on to something, right? But of course, as C.S. Lewis once noted, when everyone's rushing toward the cliff, the one person rushing away from it will be considered mad. But that's the person who's right. And so for us, when we know that Jesus is coming, even though the heavens and the earth are going to be shaken, we know that he's coming with a kingdom that cannot be shaken. He comes to take his own to a new heavens and earth. He comes to make all things new and good. So, lift up your heads. Greet the day with joy and expectation, with eagerness. It is a glorious thing. We need to stop being afraid of the end, for it's a day full of promise and glory past measure. Now, the second imperative Jesus has is look, see. That is, keep an eye out for the signs, not in fear, but in anticipation. The same way that you take note of the trees budding in the spring and begin to look forward to summer's arrival. Now, brief side note, when Jesus says that this generation is not going to pass away until all has taken place, he's not referring to generation as a time period, you know, 20 or 40 years, depending on how folks calculate things. The word generation can also mean a kind of people who are generated or who are born. And here Jesus has in mind the generation or those who are born of the unbelieving, the people who are born opposed to the gospel and the kingdom. Jesus says that they're always going to be around, even to the very end. And then they will pass away with all the brokenness of the old world, judged by Christ's word, which will never pass away. So straighten up, raise up your heads, look around, see the signs around you, and then third imperative, know. Know that the kingdom is near. It is at hand, right here. And when you know that the kingdom is here, then live like citizens of the kingdom. So often, a kind of timidity takes hold of us in the life of faith, a timidity that causes us to live and behave in ways that have nothing to do with Christ's kingdom or faith. Whether it's the suspicions that we have or fears that we harbor or grudges that we hang on to or sins that we won't quite abandon or the refusal to forgive or to be gracious, whether it's a lack of patience or dwelling on our anxieties, none of that should bind us. None of that should hold us when we know that the kingdom is here, even at the door. We need to live by the kingdom's light in joy and hope. And yet, the next imperative pulls us back into this present world. Beware, Jesus says. Watch yourselves. If you follow the list of things that Jesus told his disciples to watch out for in the gospel, you find that you might remember he also called them to beware or watch out for hypocrisy. That is, pretending to be one thing when something different is true about you deep inside. And he told them to beware or to watch out for causing other believers to stumble or to sin. Take care how you treat each other. He's told them to beware, watch out for enjoying the approval of others too much. That's a distraction. And here he warns the disciples against those things that could cloud their awareness of the times and the signs. And interestingly, these are also the things that caused some of the good seed that was sown to have its fruitfulness fail because it was choked out by weeds and thorns. He says, beware of dissipation, of drunkenness, of getting caught up in the cares of this life. When caught up in anxiety or in indulging one's appetites, or in giving oneself over to pleasure, suddenly your head's no longer where it needs to be. And the last day could surprise you and distress you in unhappy ways. Here's what Luther said about all this. He wrote, God, in his great mercy, does not will that the day of judgment should suddenly overtake us. Therefore, in his grace, he gives us this merciful warning. He causes the word to be preached to us. He calls us to repentance and offers us in Christ's forgiveness of all our sins. He gives us a sure promise that pain and guilt will be abolished if we believe in his Son. He commands us to continue in our callings and to do our work well. If we obey him in this, he in no way begrudges us food and drink, and that we are happy and of good cheer. For eat and drink we must if we are to live on earth. But we must not be forgetful of God and of the life to come. He is a good and holy God who speaks to us like a father and says, dear children, repent. Believe in my Son, whom I have sent to you. Be holy and obedient, faithful servants in your work. After that, eat and drink, and use the earthly goods with which I have blessed you. But take care that you use the world and its passing goods like someone who's waiting for the last trumpet to sound, so that when it peals and when the thunders sound, you are prepared and ready, walking in holy ways with a godly spirit. If you live like that, you are in no danger. So, don't get distracted. And finally, Jesus says, stay awake. Be watchful. The end is near. So pray. Pray to stay strong, to endure the things of this life in faith. Pray that you resist temptation and hang on to Christ's word. For when the day comes, we shall all stand in his presence. And he wants none of his own to do that in fear and shame. To stand before him will be glorious. And he strengthens you for this very thing with his word, which will never pass away. Lift up your heads. Greet the day with joy. We have this trust and hope because Jesus, in his own flesh, already endured our judgment, and in our flesh he overcame death, and even now he brings us the kingdom as he reigns at the Father's right hand. And so we confess, I believe he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, and that his kingdom will have no end. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.